One moment, Esme had been checking where everyone was. The next, with no warning, the gurney tent ruptured, air puffed out. Live fire, it had to be.
Oh!
Esme threw herself on the gurney, covering Brunn's body, and slammed Brunn's face shield shut. Even through her armor, she could feel Brunn breathing. She could see Brunn's face, rigid with fury or terror. She couldn't tell which. But the mask was clear, which meant that air and filters were both working. She pushed herself up a little and locked the elbow position so her armor wouldn't crush Brunn if something hit her hard. She and her armor were between Brunn and whatever was going on, and someone else could handle that. Then the deck bucked hard, buckled, and the damaged bulkhead peeled away. She caught a glimpse of other suited figures tumbling, someone grabbing for the other gurney, and some blow thrust her toward the opening, out into the brilliant sunlight. By the time she realized she was tumbling outside the station, she knew she was still clinging to Brunn, the armor's power-assisted gloves clamped to the frame of the gurney. The view beyond shifted crazily. Light, dark, starfield, planet, station. She tried to focus on the helmet readouts and finally found the ones that gave an estimated relative V to her ship, the station, a mere 2.43 meters per second. Brunn, when she looked, was staring back at her with no recognition. Of course not. Esme had never changed her face shield to allow it. Impossible now. She had no idea what to do, but she knew one thing not to do. Let go of the gurney frame. Her suit had the beacon.
Lieutenant!
Esme hoped that was the first call.
Sweeza here.
Lieutenant, have you got the gurney?
Yes, she's alive. Air's flowing.
What about you? Somebody thought they saw a plume.
Another look at her helmet readouts was not so reassuring. Her own air was down, and the gauge was sagging visibly. Esme remembered her first terrifying EVA from Kosciusko.
Low, and going down.
The blast may have pulled your air feed loose. Can you check it?
Not without letting go of the gurney, and I'm not going to. What's the situation?
They're dead. We've got two dead and four tumblers, counting you and the gurneys as one. Max has you all on scan. We'll have a sled to you in less than 10 minutes.
What is your air?
3 minutes. If it doesn't leak any faster.
Is Brunn conscious?
Yes. She's looking at me, but she can't see me. My helmet shield's still mirrored.
I'm gonna transmit to her. Tell her to see if she can stop your leak.
No, it's too dangerous.
It'll be more dangerous if you pass out and can't help guide the sled in.
Esme could see the change in Brunn's expression, though Mahari hadn't patched the transmission to her. Then Brunn wriggled around, wrapping one arm in the straps waving from the gurney, and reaching around behind Esme. Her arm wasn't long enough. She tapped Esme's shoulder. If Esme let go with one hand and turned, Brunn might be able to reach whatever it was. But she might lose her grip on the gurney. They might not find her. Brunn's tap the next time was a solid slug. Esme grinned to herself. Whatever the damage, Brunn hadn't changed in some essentials. Carefully, slowly, Esme loosened her grip on the gurney frame on that side and transferred her grip to one of the grab straps on Brunn's pea suit. Brunn wriggled more. The air gauge quit dropping, stabilized at 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
She's got the luck, that one.
Mahari did not say whether 8 minutes would be enough. Esme comforted herself with the knowledge that 1 minute of oxygen deprivation was within anyone's capacity. Brunn bumped against her, flinging out an arm and leg.
What is she? Oh.
She was slowing rotation. Esme extended her legs on the other side. The confusing whirl of background slowed as they lay almost crosswise of each other, forming, with the gurney frame, a six-spoked wheel rolling slowly along. Then Brunn reached up with her webbing-wrapped arm and pushed up Esme's mirror shield before Esme could bring an arm in to stop her. Her eyes widened. Then she grinned, as mischievous and merry a grin as Esme had ever seen on her face. She used the same arm to work free the thermal-packed bag of IV fluid stick-taped to the gurney, and very deliberately used her glove's screw blade attachment to poke a hole in it. Then she winked at Esme, looking past her, moved the bag around, and squeezed. A stream of saline jetted out, instantly converted to a spray of ice crystals that glittered in the sun. Esme wondered if Brunn had just gone completely insane. Then she realized what it was. For all the good it would do, Brunn was trying to use an IV as reaction mass to get them back to the station faster. Esme did her best to hold still, even as her air ran out. and the hunger for oxygen overtook her, urging her to run, struggle, fight her way out of the dark, choking tunnel that was squeezing the life out of her.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.